So for this morning, maybe not the traditional Christmas text, but I'll be reading from Galatians chapter 4. And in Galatians 4, verse 4, God's word tells us that when the fullness of time, so indicating God had a very specific time, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, a promise that was that he would send a Savior into this world. From the very beginning, from Genesis, he had proclaimed that. Now, every winter, many of us who live here in the great north longingly await for the first buds of springtime. At least, I certainly do. Maybe not everyone. And we know that it will happen once the fullness of winter is over and the sun's heat begins to warm the earth a little bit more in our part of the earth. And some winters seem longer than others. For some, they may not be long enough, but eventually spring does come. We know it will spring forth, and so does the countenance of man. The birth of Jesus was fulfilled exactly at the right time, according to God, and it marked a new phase for Israel and the world, an age of grace. Not that God's grace wasn't shown throughout the Old Testament, throughout his creation, of course it was, but it liberated man from the law and allowed for men to become children of God through spiritual adoption, which Paul writes about in Galatians chapter 4. See, in the Old Testament, God's chosen people were called the children of Israel, and yet they weren't referred to as the children of God, although that was implied to the faithful, of course. They were awaiting a spiritual adoption, for Christ's appearing would make that possible for them and all who would come to him to be made true children of God, those who would believe upon him, adopted into his family, and that comes with great rewards as well, as we will see in Galatians chapter 4. And if you have your Bible and we want to read the first seven verses, Galatians 4, verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under the tutors and governors unto the time appointed of the Father. Even so, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then heir of God through Christ. Here, an heir and a servant, as children, were considered the same. They were both under the law. So for the faithful children of Israel, heirs of the salvation God had promised, and for the unfaithful in the world, they were still under the law, still had governors to rule over them, just as Paul refers to himself in the Galatians as well. Until the fullness of time had come, of course, when God sent forth his Son, made of a woman under the law, to redeem them that were under the law through the adoption of sons. Now, I've read in commentaries about Roman adoption. It wasn't practiced as it is today. Today we think of adoption, you are adopted into a family, you join that family. But adoption in Roman days, or at least the days of Paul, was really a promotion or ascension within a family. See, all who believed upon the Lord God from Adam even unto today, you are made a child of God, putting your faith and trust in him. But adoption was only made possible once the Lord Jesus came and sent his Spirit into this world. Adoption in the days of Paul, under Roman rule, was really a two-step process. At the age of 14, they were given voting rights. And you had the right to voice your opinion, or at least be able to speak and have your voice heard. And at the age of 25, you were given property rights. So now you had property, you could make decisions as an owner. Now, since the Son of God, Jesus our Lord, has come and has ascended and has sent his Spirit into this world, into the hearts of believers, as Paul writes here, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, that first step of adoption for Jew and Gentile believers in Jesus has been accomplished. We are able to have a voice. We are able to speak to God directly, to the Father, through the Son, Jesus. We have been given that ability, and what a privilege that is. Given a right, in fact, an obligation to speak on behalf of God as ambassadors of Christ in this world. Therefore, those in Christ are no longer servants to the law or to this world, but are sons, and if sons, then heirs of God through Christ. We are awaiting that second step of adoption, property rights, which we will receive when we rule and reign with our Lord, under his lordship in his kingdom. This world is not ours. We are citizens of heaven, the Bible tells us. Through God's only begotten Son, through his birth and life, he has made a way for our rebirth and our newness of life. And Galatians 3, verse 26 confirms, for you are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. All who have placed their faith firmly in the work of Jesus are children of God. And what an inheritance God has promised and stored up for those who are part of his adoption. This was all made possible because the true Son of God, who came lowly as a child into this fallen world, born under the law so that he could fulfill the law on our part and liberate us from the penalty for breaking the law, which is death, separation from God. And so this morning and during every day of our lives, really, we should be praising the Father for sending his Son, praising the Son for coming and sending his Spirit, and glory to God in the highest for the peace he has brought between man and him.